Hey y'all, I'm Sammy, your host of the You Were Made for More podcast. John 10:10 is a promise that Jesus came down to earth so that we would have life and have it abundantly. My prayer is that this podcast and all of the content that we put out would remind every student that they were made for more, simply because of who they were created to be. My own walk with the Lord and my relationships with the teenagers that I disciple have shown me that once we understand whose we are, the game changes. Or in other words, transformation happens. Our identity changes everything. We recognize that it takes investment and partnership between the church and parents to raise teens who know and believe who they are in Jesus, and we're here to help. So buckle up as we take this journey and take a look at what God has to say about friendships, relationships, sexuality, dating, and all the things in between. Hi guys, and welcome to the You Were Made for More podcast. We are excited this month to celebrate everything about motherhood and about moms. My interview today is with a good friend of mine. Her name is Mandy, and we talk about basically what it means to have the title mom. Mom is an all-encompassing and at times the most fulfilling yet most draining job that a woman can have. And we're going to talk about what motherhood has taught us about the gospel, what advice we would give moms to be, and even being in a season of waiting for marriage or for a family. And then we're going to talk about some resources for encouragement, whether you are in your motherhood journey, longing to be a mom, longing to be a wife. All of those things are what we're going to talk about today in the podcast. Mandy is a stay-at-home mom. She has one little boy who is one. His name is Shep. And then she's expecting their second baby pretty soon. So she has been an encouragement, and her friendship has been an encouragement to me in figuring out motherhood together and figuring out what it looks like to walk with the Lord in that. So I hope you enjoy this conversation and that it encourages you in your own motherhood journey, that relying on God and building a relationship with Him happens little by little, day by day, mundane moment by mundane moment. And He meets us in all of those, and He's with us, and He is for us. All right, so Mandy, welcome to the podcast. I kind of just wanted to start, I like to start all my episodes by asking you to give us a SparkNotes version of who you are. Where can we find you on a daily basis? Who are you to your friends, to your family? What's your current season of life like? All of that. Just so that we can kind of get a better picture of who Mandy is.
Hi, my name is Mandy Boring, and I am a stay-at-home mom. I am from Louisville, Kentucky, and currently reside in a smaller town right outside of Louisville called LaGrange. We like to say that we've moved into our old Kentucky home. You know, the beautiful fences, we've got half an acre. We just love it. So, dream come true, really. As far as me and my family, I have been married to my husband, Andrew, for 2 years. We have a one-year-old boy named Shepherd, and we are due with boy number two in August, whose name is Griffin. So in 2 years, we've done quite a lot. Like I said, I'm a stay-at-home mom, so I spend my days doing all the stay-at-home mom things, cooking, cleaning, making sure my son stays alive because he is wild, running errands, you know, hanging out with other moms' friends, trying to, you know, get groceries run, errands done, while still trying to find some time for myself. So yeah, that's a little bit about me.
You guys definitely have done a lot in 2 years, but there also is a beauty in that. And I think that what I want to kind of start by talking about is, what has your first year of motherhood taught you about yourself, about God, and about the gospel? All of those things, at least I have found, are so interconnected. And I think that motherhood has a unique way of revealing things about all of them to us, whether that's over time or very quickly and kind of like a punch in the gut. We get taught some lessons as moms. So what has that looked like for you as you figured out what motherhood looks like for you?
As far as my first year of motherhood, it's definitely been a learning curve. And that honestly was a huge shock for me, because this is somebody who has babysat since I was 12 years old, like very consistently all the time babysat. And my mom also is a stay-at-home mom, and she also watched other people's kids in our home growing up. So there was always babies around. So if you had asked me, you know, oh, do you feel prepared to be a mom? I'd be like, heck yeah, I can do this with my eyes closed. I mean, my friends who had kids before me called me the baby whisperer. Like, I was very confident in just taking care of kids. But honestly, like, having my own and dealing with the pregnancy and postpartum and the hormones was just above and beyond what I expected in terms of it being hard. So as far as this first year and what it taught me and what it taught me about God is that I am stronger than I know, but that is only through Him and His strength. I struggled really bad with pretty severe postpartum depression, anxiety, and what's not talked about a lot is the postpartum rage, which was super scary and just so unlike me. I'm not somebody who visibly gets angry or, you know, screams, yells, says harsh things, especially to kids. And in full transparency, multiple times I was yelling at my newborn son because I didn't think he was sleeping when he should or eating when he should or all the things that I felt like needed to be happening. And every time he wasn't doing something that I thought he should have, that was me telling myself that I wasn't a good mom, because it was a reflection of me, essentially. So motherhood for me was very much a daily choice and struggle to die to myself and to give it to the Lord. Because I really could not do it on my own. It was scary and it was hard, but also the most beautiful experience. And honestly, just like a very clear evidence of Christ using that as my sanctification to become more like Him. You know, like the Bible says, where I am weak, He is strong. And I had to rely on that every day and speak that over to myself every day. 'Cause there were many days I thought, I can't do this. This is, you know, I'm not cut out for it. And I just had to sit back and listen to the Lord say, Mandy, this is who I made you to be. I picked you to be Shepherd's mom for a reason, and nobody can do it better than you. So I really saw God, you know, as that firm protector, father figure, just holding me.
Yeah, I think that no matter, like, as a woman, a lot of us have the innate mothering instincts. We've babysat, we've taken care of other kids, but when you do enter your own season of motherhood, there are so many different factors that you're balancing: marriage and work, whether inside or outside of the home, other kids in your family, maybe if it's not your first child, like you mentioned, hormones, the postpartum season, all of those things come together to really shape what the beginning of motherhood looks like. And we definitely cannot do it without God. So I love how you kind of shared your experience about that. What would you go back and tell yourself about becoming a mom, especially about like the postpartum and adjustment to becoming a mom phase, if you could go back and talk to like 8 month pregnant Mandy, what would you say to yourself to kind of prepare you and guide you in that next season?
I kind of touched on, you know, my past before becoming a mom being what I thought so skilled in the realm of taking care of kids. And I clearly wasn't. But if I had to go back and tell myself something beforehand, was, it sounds cliche, but honestly, don't be so hard on yourself, one. And two, don't be afraid to ask for help. And that's like in all things. For me, the biggest step of that was getting help with my postpartum depression and mentally. I was honest about that with my small group from church and the struggles that I was dealing with. And through that honesty, one of the other girls in the group introduced me and recommended me to a therapist that helped me immensely in just kind of showing me that I was doing a good job and I should be confident in my role as a mom. And not even confident, but through, you know, asking for that help and getting it, I was able to actually soak in the joy of motherhood in something that I have longed for as long as I can remember. I mean, I was the 18-year-old who was like, if I could get married and start a family tomorrow, I would. Like, I just always knew I wanted to be a mom. I genuinely felt like that was the calling that the Lord had on my life. I never wanted a career. I never, you know, I didn't really care what I went to school for. I wanted to be a mom. And then it came and it was like, man, this doesn't feel like I thought it would feel. But that's because I was trying to do it alone and in my own strength. So yeah, do not be afraid to ask for help. And it could be as little as like, hey, I really need to get laundry done and my son does not want to be put down today. Can you come hold my kid? Or as also simple as asking my husband to bring home dinner on his way home from work. Like, you know, I'm tapped out. I do not have it in me to make dinner tonight. Can you please pick something up? And honestly, that was hard for me because I wanted to be everything for him as his wife, as well as everything for my son as a mom. But it's like, okay, it's okay if you don't make dinner today. Like, you've done enough. If all I did today was nurse my son and hold him while he slept because he was having a harder day and needed me more, then that was okay. So yeah, don't be afraid to ask for help because we're not meant to do this alone.
Yeah, I think that all in all, it's so hard to like admit weakness and admit when you need help, because having a baby is supposed to be like one of the happiest times of your life, right? But that postpartum season is raw and vulnerable and hard, and there are a lot of things that we as women need to learn to do, and one of them is to ask for help from our spouses, from our community, from our small groups, and also from God, or a therapist, you know, who can walk with you through those things. That's a great message to moms to be, is like, ask for help, whether it is small or big, whether it's like you need help cooking dinner, you need help making dinner for your family, you need 10 minutes to take a shower. Like, don't be afraid to ask for those things. So what is, like, your motto for motherhood, right? Because I think that we all have them, and they tend to guide and shape a lot of how we live our days. My motto is, especially, like, the more kids that I've had, is just, like, do the next thing. Like, do the next thing that the Lord is calling you to do. Do the next thing that needs to be done around the house. Do the next thing that your kids need from you. Because it helps me not to get overwhelmed and stressed. And it just helps my day to go smoother. I think that I can get overwhelmed by all of the tasks, because I work and I'm at home, and when you have little kids, there's always things to need that need done. So do you have something like that that helps you get through your day to day?
Something that I have sort of taken on as my own motto for motherhood. I think I actually saw it on Instagram somewhere. I can't remember exactly where. So I cannot take credit for it, but it's to choose the kind of day you're going to have at the beginning of the day and just stick with it. So that way, you know, you don't have multiple expectations of things that need to get done or fun that needs to be had or whatever. But you can get up in the morning, you know, sit down with the Lord, pray over your day and say, what can you use me for today? What does today need to be? Whether that's, I'm really tired and this pregnancy is kicking my butt with a toddler and I am going to sit at home and lay in his playroom while he plays. And when he naps, I'm going to nap and I'm going to rest. And if today is all about resting my body, then that's what it's going to be. And it's going to be okay if dishes pile up or if laundry doesn't get done or if I don't think of some stellar learning activity for my son. You know, it just takes the weight of that responsibility off. Now, on the other hand, you could say, okay, today I'm feeling good. I'm going to be productive. So, you know, that's making sure you have a to-do list and saying laundry needs to get done, dishes need to get done, I need to do a Kroger or grocery pickup order, I have these errands I need to run, whatever it may be, choose that day as I'm going to get stuff done today and make it happen. And I think praying over that in the beginning of your day, you know, sets the tone and shows the Lord what you need from him to help him accomplish. And then there could also be like, I'm going to have a fun day where I'm going to let my kid essentially trash my house and it's going to be okay because I know we're having a blast and he's exploring and learning. He's so close to walking and he loves just taking things out of anything he can, whether that's my clothes out of my drawers, pots and pans out of the kitchen, whatever. But it's, you know, if today is going to be about him exploring and having fun, then who cares what my house looks like when my husband gets home? Because that's the kind of day I plan to have. So, yeah, I think a good motto is just choose the kind of day you're going to have and give it to the Lord.
That's so true. I think that there's so much power in our attitudes and how we live. And that's why, like, for me, something that I do that's really important is, like, I get up and start my day before the rest of my family gets up and starts their day, because I need time to read my Bible or pray or have a cup of coffee or start prepping breakfast and getting the laundry done and cleaning up from the night before and things like that. That's really important to, like, center me and get my head in a good space to start the day. If I don't do that, I'm, like, fumbling, I get easily angered and things like that. So I think that you learn what works for you as a mom, and choosing discipline and to do harder things, like waking up earlier, if that's what that looks like for you, in order to choose the type of day you're gonna have, is really good. So the next thing I kind of want to talk about is, like, for those who are listening to this podcast who are yearning to be married or to be a mom, can you offer them some encouragement in how the Lord has worked in your life to align you with Andrew and how he has blessed you in your seasons of waiting? I know that, like, from our friendship, I've heard your testimony and heard your dating history and things like that, and kind of what did it look like for you to trust God that he would bring you a husband who would be aligned with you, who would be equally yoked with you, and things like that?
It's honestly such a joy for me to talk about the Lord's faithfulness in my life, because there were many years that I doubted him. I was angry at the Lord, and there was a lot that I had to walk through that I didn't even realize before I could be the wife and mom that the Lord needed me to be. So as cliche as it sounds, if you are somebody that finds yourself longing and yearning to find the one whom your soul loves and to be married and to start a family and all the things, is wait on the Lord. I am somebody that did not do that for years, and I tried to think that I could do it better myself. Like I said before, I have wanted to be a wife and a mom since I was 18 years old. Like, I truly felt that was the only calling on my life. And I sat and watched friend after friend who didn't even honestly care, like, have that desire as strongly as I did. You know, everybody wants to be married and have kids, but it wasn't like me who just like yearned for it. But I would watch my friends and other people I know get engaged, get married, start having kids, you know, without even like, oh, I'm pregnant and I didn't mean to be pregnant kind of thing. And it was like, Lord, like I am crying out to you for that. And I'm seeing everybody else get it from me. And I struggled with waiting on him because I wanted to do it myself. So, you know, I dated the wrong guys. Another in full transparency, I was, you know, waiting to have intimacy with my husband. And I just thought to myself, I'm going to throw that out the window because obviously I'm waiting and you're not, you know, rewarding me for that, which is so wrong to think that the Lord just rewards your actions. I think he does see, like, your faithfulness to him and, like, blesses you accordingly. But to think, like, hey, I'm not doing this because you're going to give me a husband is wrong. And, you know, then I started, you know, giving myself and my body to these guys that act like absolutely did not deserve it, because I thought, well, if that's going to get somebody to marry me, then I guess it's fine. And it's just, that was so hard for me mentally and emotionally, because I knew deep down that that wasn't right. And I didn't want to be doing that, but I so bad just wanted somebody to want to marry me that at that point I didn't care. I mean, I cared who it was, but it was just like, were they, you know, strong Christian men who I knew would lead me, which is what I'd always wanted in a husband? No, absolutely not. And I kind of just set that to the side and even stopped listening to people in my life who were strong Christian influences saying, Mandy, you know, are you sure this is who you should be with? And as crazy as it sounds, I even had, you know, I've had a best friend since I was in fourth grade. And she even would tell me I was praying for that relationship to end. She was essentially praying for him to dump me because she knew I wouldn't leave him. And so, yeah. And ultimately, I had dated a guy for 2 years, thought we were going to get married. And it just was honestly a terrible relationship. Mentally, verbally abusive, just kind of isolated me from friends and family, made me question myself. You know, all the things that a husband should not be. And it didn't take until I got out of that and really had to like hit rock bottom with the Lord and speak out to him that I was so mad at him and felt like he had left me alone in that, for him to say, Mandy, I was there the whole time. I have never moved. You're the one that stepped away from me. And you didn't wait on me. You tried to do it yourself. And so fast forward a few months, I had gone through some pretty intense Christian counseling to ultimately what we worked through was helping me learn and trust that God is good and that he wants good for me, because I had gotten to the point where I didn't believe that. And after those few months, I, you know, felt good. I thought, okay, well, let's give this a try. And how does anybody meet anybody nowadays? Was on a dating app. So I got on Hinge, actually. And the day I downloaded it was the day that I matched and started talking with my now husband, Andrew. And come to find out, that's the same day he had downloaded it. And the day before, he had gotten baptized at a church that we both went to. My church is very big, so it was like impossible to know everybody. But he had decided to rededicate his life to Christ and to trust him and give his future to him, just like I had the day before we met. And now looking back at that, it's like, okay, if we had not both waited on the Lord to bring us our spouse and his perfect timing, I would not be the wife and mom that I need or want to be for Andrew and for my sons. And Andrew will say that he would absolutely not be the man and husband that he is now or needed to be without surrendering to the Lord first. So it was like, if we had met, you know, I believe that Andrew has always been the one for me and God created him for me. But if I had met him a year before I did, it might not have worked out. He probably wouldn't have liked the woman I was. And he would even say that I probably wouldn't have liked the man that he was. So it's just incredible to see the Lord kind of develop us each as individuals before gifting us each other and say, okay, now you two are ready to come together as one and be servants for my kingdom and raise your children to be servants for my kingdom, because now you know what that looks like. And it brings tears to my eyes because it's just so cool. And I also just wish, like, you know, I could go back to my younger self and say, just wait, don't settle. The Lord, my verse of my life is that the Lord will do immeasurably more than you can ask, think, or imagine. And I see that every day in my husband, in my son, in the support system that we have surrounding us that points us to Jesus every day. And I am just so thankful. So coming from someone that, you know, was searching and begging the wrong guys to want to marry me, I met Andrew, and our relationship has been a wonderfully fantastic, God-driven whirlwind from the beginning. Like I said, we matched on Hinge. We went on our first date the day later, and we both said from that first date, we just knew. We knew we were each other's person. We dated for 6 months, got engaged, got married 3 months later. Yes, I planned a wedding for 250 people in 3 months. It can be done. moved into a new house, got pregnant 3 months later, found out my husband got a promotion, moved to Pittsburgh while I was 20 weeks pregnant, had our son in Pittsburgh, which is where I met Sammy and all the wonderful ladies out there. Then found out my husband got another new job, bringing us back to Kentucky. Found out we were pregnant again when my son was 6 months old, and moved back. And here we are. We've been married 2 years, lived in three houses. We have 1.5 children, and none of that would would be without the Lord's provision. And honestly, like later than I would have, you know, hoped or expected for myself. I didn't meet Andrew until I was 28 years old. He's 2 years younger than me. He was 26, but you know, I always thought I'm for sure going to be married by the time I'm 25. No. And again, it's the Lord's timing is so, so perfect because I wouldn't have been prepared to be the wife and mom I am today if I got married at 25. So, you know, if you feel like you're just running behind or the Lord has forgotten you or it's just too late for that in your life, it's not. And the Lord can and will do immeasurably more than you can ask, think, or imagine.
I think there's so much beauty in that story of how you guys met and what, like I said, like your relationship and your marriage has kind of been like defined by change. I think that I relate to that so much. Like my husband and I met, dated for 3 months, were engaged for 6 months, and then got married 9 months after we met. And to a lot of people, that is crazy. For people who aren't following God correctly or have people walking alongside of them doing life with them, that also looks crazy. But when you date intentionally, like we've talked about what that looks like on the podcast before, it absolutely can be done and is a beautiful testimony of what it looks like to discover God and discover each other together. So I love that, like, our stories are alike in that way. And I think that it happens when, I hate to say, like, when you least expect it, because a lot of people say that and I think it's cheesy, but it does happen when you are following the Lord and you're not really looking for anything. Like, your eyes are not focused on that. They're focused on God is when meeting the right person tends to happen for most people. And I think that's a beautiful way that the Lord works to help us find our partners. What are some of your favorite resources, like Instagram accounts, podcasts, books that you've been loving since you've become a mom? And what has offered you hope?
I am somebody that loves outside input, whether that's books, podcasts, advice from friends, encouragement from family, music, or Instagram accounts or anything of the sort. I relied heavily on those things my first year of motherhood and still do. I will say, just as like a precaution to like, if there are things that are not serving you or not helping you mentally, get rid of them. You know, I was following so many different accounts about nursing and breastfeeding or baby sleep and your baby should be sleeping through the night at 2 months old and this, that, or the other. That was not healthy for me. That stuff I had to get rid of because what I learned through counseling and through just trusting myself and trusting the Lord is that, you know, Shepherd is going to be a baby and I am going to be able to give him what he needs, and what he needs may look different than what another baby needs. So that's just a little sidestep. But some things that I did really enjoy are the Risen Motherhood podcast, book, Instagram account, blog on Facebook, all of the things. It's all about finding the gospel in the day-to-day life of motherhood and seeing it in every aspect of that. So that was all really helpful for me. You know, I would pop it on in the car if I was driving for a long time, the podcast. I actually met a few moms and we walked through chapters of the Risen Motherhood book together and just shared our experiences with each other and our thoughts on things. And that was all really helpful for me. another book that I like, but they also have an Instagram account, I believe. It's called Every Moment Holy, and they're liturgies for your everyday life. And like one in particular that a friend sent to me that sparked my interest in that was a liturgy for diaper changes. And it's just like inviting the Lord into that mundane space of, oh my gosh, another poopy diaper. And seeing how even that is work for the Lord. You are being a servant to him and to his people by changing your child's diaper. So that was just really encouraging for me to think, man, you know, this feels like I have done nothing productive today, but in the eyes of the Lord, I was serving him. And then as simply put as just like turning on worship music, that was a huge outlet for me. And honestly, worship music just hits you different after you become a parent. Like, you see and sing about the love that God has for you, and it actually feels somewhat tangible, but also not, because you know that it's tenfold the love you have for your child. But once you become a parent, like, that unconditional love you feel for your kid is just that much more how the Lord loves you and your kid, both, you know. So it's just, I find myself in tears both at church and at home while I'm listening to worship music, just in awe of the Lord's faithfulness and his just immense, expansive love for me and my family. So as simple as just turning music on in the background of the day, or my car stays on worship station. So just anytime I'm driving anywhere, just having those little snippets of peace and joy and, you know, biblical knowledge and truth. And then a few other ones. This is a personal topic and like more of like another story for another day. But I struggled a little bit with my recovery after giving birth. And so that meant intimacy with my husband was very, very difficult. And just anytime you are, you know, transitioning into parenthood, life just looks totally different for you and your husband. And my husband and I got pregnant 3 months after we got married. So we didn't have much time of just like one-on-one figuring out how to be newlyweds. It was straight into, oh, I'm pregnant, trying to figure out how to, you know, feel pretty and be intimate with my husband when your body's changing and you're nauseous and all the things. But then even after, with recovery and stuff, we really struggled like finding time to be husband and wife and be with each other, especially when, honestly, it was painful for me and just like not something that I wanted to do. So there's another podcast and Instagram page called Kingdom Sexuality that are Christians talking about, you know, intimacy with your spouse and what that looks like and how it is important to, you know, I can't think of the word, but like strive for that. You know, that is a big part of marriage that the Lord has blessed us with, and it's actually glorifying to him to be one with your spouse. So that like on a practical level was helpful for me and just like allowed my husband and I to like talk openly about that. Because, you know, being a good mom isn't just about being a good mom. You know, you're a wife before you're a mom. And I know for a fact that like, if I'm a better wife and feel like I'm loving my husband well, then I can love my son better too. And vice versa, if I feel like my husband's loving me well, I am a better mom. Like, that's just how it is. So that helped me a lot. And then last but not least, there's a page that I found recently on Instagram. Her name is Katie Noel, and she just shares snippets of, you know, like motherhood and life. And her bio says, sharing my daily joys, wife, mama, and believer. So she's Christian and that kind of thing. But she shares posts that are just like little snippets of encouragement. Like this one from March 25th says, what if motherhood isn't meant to always be easy, but to refine us and draw us closer to our Heavenly Father in every moment? What if the weight of responsibility is meant to remind us we are not meant to carry it alone? What if the moments of exhaustion are meant to teach us to find true rest in the Lord? And that's just a little, you know, sneak peek of what she talks about. But I find those little things really helpful, especially just like in the mundane nap times when I'm scrolling Instagram, just to turn my brain off for a little bit. It's helpful for those to pop up and be what I'm reading And then that kind of turns my mind back to the Lord and say, thank him for your day so far. Ask him to give you strength for the rest of your day. So yeah. Overall, motherhood is the hardest but best thing I've ever done. And to say that I am nervous and terrified to welcome another boy, they will be 15 months apart, so definitely two under two, almost two under one, will be crazy, I'm sure, and it will be a learning curve all over again. But I am excited and hopeful and confident about this, you know, freshly postpartum season, that I'm hoping everything that I've learned and been taught and that the Lord has shown me in, you know, this first year of motherhood, that I will be a better first-time mom to my second son, if that makes sense, you know. So, yeah.